Hello and welcome back to Green About Media, the show where we talk all about sustainability in the digital marketing environment. If you're new here and want to know more about how digital industries are having a negative impact on the environment, I recommend you go back and check out Season 1 of the show, where we talk about everything from the current state of things, where digital emissions come from, and how you can make some changes in your thinking about the way you use digital and the internet in order to start reducing you or your company's carbon footprint. For this season of the show, I wanted to hear from industry professionals who are involved in sustainability within their organizations, how they got into a position to drive change, how they're achieving it, and some of the challenges they're facing along the way. Now, as we learned in the last season, a large chunk of the CO2e emissions that digital and the internet create come from the energy and data storage requirements that allow the uncountable billions of data packet transfer involved when doing anything on the internet, especially operations driven largely by algorithmic, programmatic, or AI-powered actions. And today we're going to hear from Global VP of Partnerships and Sustainability at Captify, Fiona Salmon.
Hi, I'm Fee Salmon from Captify. Mostly my day job is working on the data partnership side for the business, which means collecting search data for our algorithms to make use of.
Captify is one of the leading global search intelligence platforms. And as such, they oversee literal billions of searches across billions of devices every day. Captify then collects and analyzes that search data to power programmatic advertising and search insights for a host of big-name high-traffic clients. This huge movement of data and its inevitable contribution to the carbon footprint of the digital industries prompted them to prioritize some organizational changes within their company to ensure they were being as responsible as possible when it came to their environmental impact and carbon footprint. And so, up steps Fiona.
30% of my time is spent as a sustainability lead, our only sustainability lead at this time. But I also run our Green Task Force, which currently has about 24 members. So I actually did, years and years ago, I did an environmental science degree, actually. I really wanted to work for the Environment Agency. I saw quite early on that, manufacturing, etc., was highly pollutant. I wanted to try to help with that, bring pollutants down. I really enjoyed the degree at UCL, but actually then when I went for interviews at places like Environment Agency, etc., actually the people there just weren't for me, just didn't sort of feel like home. So actually stumbled into media sales, and I've been in media sales under one guise or another since then, starting off in print, and then moving through into digital, along with with publishers, and then moving across into ad tech, where I've been for the last part of my career.
And since that time years ago, a lot has changed in the scope of work options within the environmental sector.
Gosh, absolutely. So you didn't have much choice. Like I said, the Environment Agency was one path. Another path was oil rigs. But for that, I would have had to have done a pure geology conversion and also more days in the field. I did quite a lot of days in the field because the degree was actually part of the geology department at UCL. But there wasn't much choice back then at all. It was kind of looking for oil, or it was checking manufacturing companies' pollutant levels.
And as her career moved into media and evolved, Fiona started to become more aware of the impact the industry was having on the environment.
Being in print and being surrounded by paper and magazines, knowing the production, the way that where the paper came from, how the paper was made, I actually just started to get kind of concerned for the forestation and felt that moving to digital would be a better choice for the environment. So did that. Years later, obviously, we've found out more about the digital footprint, carbon footprint on the planet, which is pretty disappointing, actually.
Disappointing just how negative of an impact digital was having, yet the awareness around it in both the professional and consumer spaces was still really quite low.
Absolutely. They're really not aware. I think that the very word cloud is misleading, because it's not saved in a cloud, it's saved in server farms, which require massive cooling lakes, etc., etc. There's a brilliant panorama program on that. I still talk to friends and outside of the industry, and they're super surprised when I explain how much carbon tonnage is used for an average campaign. I think Goodloop were the first to quote that it's 5.4 tons. It's also really hard for us to actually get an idea of what 5.4 tons of carbon looks like, because we just don't see that daily. I'm still waiting for someone to do a really good visual of that, actually, because I think that would be really impactful.
So by my calculation and a bit of Googling, that's about 180 to 250 new trees that would need to be planted in order to remove the equivalent amount of CO2 from the air.
And they're really surprised about how, you know, getting compared to the aviation industry now, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking, to be totally frank with you. So therefore, I basically pitched to the previous CEO at Captify. I could see once we started to get this knowledge that it was going to be very important to me that I worked for a company that was leaning into the space and trying to work in a less impactful way to the environment. And he and the rest of the board and the executive team agreed straight away that I could split some of my time across to being our sustainability lead, which for a small company like Captify, we're just sort of about 230, 240 employees. That's a big investment. So I was really grateful for that decision. And actually in the year that I've been in the post, gosh, it's exactly a year. We've made some really good ground. I'm really proud of the work that we've done and the partnerships that we've now got in place to mean that 2024 should be a less impactful year for us on the environment.
And that's all well and good, but in my experience, figuring out how to just get started can be one of the biggest challenges.
So it's first of step in anything is auditing and measurement. So I was lucky enough to be introduced to a couple of authors that have written the Sustainable Business Book, which is very easy to read. Oh, look, I've actually got a copy of it here on my desk.
Phil from the editing room here with a quick note. The book that Fiona is referring to here is called The Business Sustainability Book by Sarah Duncan and Kevin Duncan. I've just started reading it on Fiona's recommendation, and it really does read like a DIY book on how and why to get started in sustainability in your company. I'll put a link in the show notes and might even look into getting one of the authors on the show. We'll see.
It's become my Bible. I've given a few of them out to people that I want to influence within the company to become more on my pathway. And so they also do a free mini audit on their website, which was a great starting place. It's an ESG audit. And myself and the VP of people took the audit. We found that Captify was super strong on the S and the G, but we hadn't done anything for E. And actually, by answering those questions and having to unfortunately put no for a lot of them, gave me a to-do list, which was fabulous. I've been using that since then, literally just trying to tick off these, some of them bigger than others, tasks to get us into a better place. The first thing after doing that audit was working out a measurement partner that could actually start measuring our Scope 1, Scope 2 and Scope 3 emissions. We already had an idea that Scope 3 would be our biggest contributor, and it is something like 98-99%. So we got to, myself and our previous CMO, we got to working out RFMP.
That's Request for Proposal.
For carbon accounting software. We must have sent the brief out to about 10, got proposals from all, and then literally went through them with a fine-tooth comb with regards to who would fit our needs the best. And we centered on Sidara. So we've been working with those guys now for nearly a year. In fact, that's coming up in March. And in that time, we've already managed to measure our 2022 Scope 1, Scope 2, Scope 3. And we have just yesterday sent the final calculations for December 2023. So we should have all of 2022 and all of 2023 in our software and our dashboard very soon.
We've talked a lot about Scope 1, 2 and 3 measurements in this show, and for good reason. If you want to hear more about it, you can go and check out episode 5 of season 1 with Scope 3's Harvin Gupta, or listen to our Decarbonizing Digital Media, part 2 of our webinar episodes with Eric Shi from Sidara, also in season 1. But as important as measurement is, it doesn't do anything to your project in and of itself. You need to get the right people together who can actually take this information and figure out how to use it to make a difference. People are, after all, the most valuable resource, and in Fiona's case, after measuring, she set up an internal green task force to do just that.
So the aim of the task force is to have representation from all departments across Captify, all spokes of the wheel, if you think of that. So we have Darcy in finance. She's amazing because she sends all of the accountant information to Sidara. So all of our monthly outgoings comes from Darcy. Martin, he's from our product team, and he sends all of the campaign data, etc. So without those two, we couldn't get our carbon footprint, CO2 emissions. So it's fantastic. We've also got James Jones, our CMO, who's going to be helping us get more messaging out about our journey and where we're up to, and also our green media products that are available to buy. And then also Jodie, our legal counsel, she's a massive greenie like me. So she's also thinking of ways constantly that we can be better. We're just writing our sustainability policy now, because I noticed through the audit that we didn't have one and that we should. So that's being written at the moment. I think we're on about third draft, so that will publish soon. Yeah, without these kind of people, I couldn't do what we are doing. So I'm very grateful.
Now, one of the things I wanted to do with this series was to not falsely give the sense that making real sustainable change in your organization is an easy task. That would be untrue and misleading. Mistakes will be made. Challenges will arise.
We've made some mistakes along the way, though. Do you want to hear about those?
And being transparent about these mistakes and finding solutions to them will help you actually grow and evolve to become better. Talking about it openly can help the industry as a whole learn from each other and not keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Because like it or not, together, using each other's strengths and weaknesses proactively is the only way we're getting out of this crisis.
We thought we were doing a brilliant job of sending Sidara all of our data. And we came to the end of our 2022 measurements, and everything went into the software and into the UI for me to have a look at. And it was showing 4.4 thousand tons that Captify had burnt in 2022. So I was like, goodness, is that a lot? Is that a little? I have absolutely nothing to benchmark it with until I start talking to other businesses of the same size in the same industry with the same billings. But, you know, because it's coming from the campaigns, right? That's where most of the carbon's coming from. So we had this figure of 4.4 thousand tons, and I sat there and I told everybody about this figure, and it was all coming from scope 3, all good. Then we got through to 2022, and we must have been about, I remember we'd got January to October's data into the software. They were doing all the calculations on their side at Sidara. They're a great, great group of people. And then when that got put into the UI, it was something like 9.9 thousand tons for 10 months versus 4.4 thousand tons for 12 months. And like everybody in the industry, you know, digital's had a tough year in 2023. And Sidara was sort of pulling out the champagne corks thinking, gosh, Captify, you've had a brilliant year, haven't you? Gosh, it's, you know. And I said, well, you know, actually it's not as brilliant as it could have been. It was a good year, but it could have been better. So I was like, something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong. And then I chatted to the team that sent the data across, who did a brilliant job, but then we realized that they hadn't sent our trade desk seat at all. So we'd sent all the campaigns running through our Xander seat, but not through the trade desk, which is probably, again, it's probably half of our campaigns. So no wonder 2022 looked like a really light year compared to 2023. We only keep campaign information for 13 months, so we couldn't even rectify it and send over a batch of data for 2022. So it's got to stay as it is. So where 2022 was supposed to be our baseline year for measurement, it's now going to be 2023. So it's frustrating because I still don't have that year-on-year comparison. We're going to have to wait till the end of 2024, which at the moment feels like a really long way away. But it is what it is. And I suppose I wanted to be transparent about that because we're not climate professionals. We haven't employed a climate consultant. If we had have done, we probably wouldn't have made that mistake. So we're just media people trying to learn this stuff and trying to do a better job. So take the learning, move on. We've got it right this year. I've been digging even deeper whilst we've still got the data to hand just to make sure, have we covered everything? You know, I've been going through everything with a fine-tooth comb, which I didn't last time. You know, you kind of just hand it over to the people that have the data or access to the data and you say, send this across, sounds good. Yep, all done. I didn't see the data going across and, you know, that's my bad. I should have looked probably a bit closer. Don't know if I would have understood it, but so shoulda, woulda, coulda. So I wanted to share that for others.
It can be really disheartening when this kind of thing happens, and it will happen. You feel like you've wasted time, resources, and that you've pushed the goalposts, which are already a pretty winding and overwhelming distance away, even further. But like anything worth doing in life, it's important to take a deep breath, reflect, and learn so that it doesn't happen again. Pick yourself up, forgive yourself and your team, and on to the next step.
The next part is to really try to reduce the carbon in our campaigns, because that's where we know for most of the carbon is being burnt or used. We're lucky because we already work with AWS. They already have very strong green credentials, which definitely stands in our favour. The other thing I really wanted to try to find a solution for was the energy supply that heats our offices, etc. That's not been too easy either. We're not the landlords of the office, and the energy companies to change our tariff and change us onto a green energy supply will only speak to the landlord. So that's just going to take me a little bit longer than I was planning on. But yeah, other than that, we've been the other side of measurement is, of course, the measurement partners that can measure your impact from your campaigns and your creatives. And that's becoming quite a competitive area recently. So again, we ran a RFP for the vendors there, which is the main ones that we know of is Goodloop at the time, Goodloop, Impact Plus and Scope 3. Although Sidara are now also moving into that space, which good for them, because I would rather this all come into one supplier if possible. So yeah, the next thing we've been doing is testing campaigns with those measurement providers.
And when you do make mistakes and learn from them, it can be counterintuitive to share them with others in the industry. I mean, they technically are competitors in business. And in my time and research doing this series so far, this is one of the trickier aspects that keeps arising. In order to be successful, profitable, and sustainable, both in the environmental sense of the word, but importantly, also in the true sense of sustainability, to endure, we need to be able to simultaneously be in healthy competition, but also work together to share knowledge and experiences.
We actually have a case study coming out imminently. We can't say the brand that it's with, but we managed to reduce, or working with Scope 3 in this case, we managed to reduce the carbon in the campaign by over 60%. I think it's something like 63, 64%. Whilst the performance level actually improved, which is fantastic. So it seems that the kind of the more, let's say, premium inventory that you can use, the better the campaign performs. And it also seems that that's also, according to Scope 3's measurements, those publishers are sort of better, or let's say further along at reducing their carbon footprint.
Drive profits, but not with the traditional mindset of as much as possible, as quickly as possible, but rather understand that we have to take a longer view, not just fall into the trap of instant gratification. Basically, be thoughtful and strategic about who we choose to work with and how we choose to operate.
It's actually with regards to the choice of the inventory that the campaign runs on. So if a publisher has a really large ads.txt file, Scope 3 will class that publisher as a high emitter of carbon. So it's all to do with how many partnerships, I suppose, they have within the ecosystem, how many SSPs they have bidding for the inventory, how many SSPs the inventory is being sent out to as a bid opportunity. And then further back in the chain, then those SSPs talking to exchanges and DSPs, if that's really crowded and there's a lot of integrations and tags, then that one inventory availability is going out to multiple opportunities to buy it. And that pure data exchange in the bid is what's causing a lot of the carbon footprint. So what Scope 3 have done is create like a green PMP where you can choose to run the campaign on their chosen inventory that they've considered to be less carbon intensive. So from the get-go, you're already making a reduction. If you're not thinking about how to make your business more sustainable, and also the digital campaigns that you're running, specifically in our industry, but more sustainable, then you're going to miss out. I don't think it's long. We're not far off sustainability KPIs. We've been answering sustainability questions through agency RFIs for about 2.5 years here in Europe. That's not quite happening yet, I understand, in America, but it will be. And it's on the horizon there as well. So I think it's really important if you're noticing that sustainability is coming up more frequently within the area that you're working within, to really, I encourage people to research, read up on what's happening, and then start, you know, speaking to the executive team about you'd like to start measuring the impact that the company has on the planet. People can always come to me and ask for advice if they think I can help at all. Very happy to steer people and tell people our journey and get listened to that way. This is an industry issue, and you will be left behind if you don't start doing something if you haven't already. And I think that's the most important message that kind of employees can give to their exec team. And if they're not on the bus already, then they do need to get on it.
And with enough data, strategy, and a little luck, you can end up more profitable in the long run and be more sustainable at the same time. Because the landscape we face in terms of what partners and clients want and are willing to pay for is changing so rapidly in front of us, we can no longer just look at what is most profitable in the right now.
So important, trying to get the idea across to people that, yes, you're going to maybe have to pay a little bit more for a brand or a product, but it's going to be more sustainably sourced and made, isn't easy to do. Actually, you know, investors want to invest in sustainable businesses because they want businesses that are going to be here in the future that they're going to profit from. In order to still be here in the future, you're really going to have to look at your sustainability credentials now. Also, to, you know, attract key talent, you need to have good sustainability credentials now. And really get to it if you haven't already. There's always going to be passionate people within your industry that are very happy to jump in and carve out some of their time to help your business be more sustainable. You just need to kind of put the messaging out there if they haven't come forward like I did, because they are there, and there is lots of people that do really care about this stuff, especially now that we have more information about the footprint that our industry creates.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Green About Media. We have more sustainability stories and interviews coming up with more industry professionals making positive change in their organizations. Check out the show notes for how to get in touch with us and links to some of the topics covered, especially the sustainability book by Kevin and Sarah Duncan. As I said, I've just started reading it on Fee's recommendation, and so far it really is such a clear and practical guide on how to incorporate sustainability into your business. I haven't finished it yet, but something tells me this won't be the last time we hear about it on the show. Thank you to Captify for lending us Fee Salmon. It was really great to talk and hear your story, Fiona. And thank you as always to executive producer Nadia Koski and to project lead Dennis Kirshner. And just in case you didn't know, we have a couple of other shows on the Digital Distillery Podcast Network. And a couple of weeks ago, celebrating International Women's Day, Nadia hosted a webinar to discuss some really important topics with a group of wonderfully insightful and experienced professionals. We've just put that webinar up as a special episode over on the Women Lead podcast. Links to that are also in the show notes, and I can really recommend giving that a listen too. I've been your host, Phil McDowell. and I'll see you next time on Green About Media. Until then.